Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Thank you very much. Okay. Okay, I have some really exciting news. Really exciting. On Sunday, April the 13th, Bill and Pat Risling will be here. And I lobbied pretty hard on this. We were going to get, they were going to come be at in Tulsa the 13th, and then be here that following Wednesday or the Wednesday before here. And I protested and I lobbied, and so we went out. They're going to be here on Sunday, April the 13th, and what we'll do is we'll have communion that week so that we can fellowship with them and everybody can just talk and enjoy them for a while. So, and ask them questions and just kind of get to know them a little bit. So that will be very good. And so I'm excited about that. So, yes, yes. Now today, the calendar, this week's calendar came out today, and I didn't know about this until she had already sent it out. And so I called her, and she said it'd be definitely on the next week. So there'd be plenty of time for everybody to make arrangements and all. So that'll be fun. Hope we have a good attendance that Sunday and all of that. Let's see, this Sunday is Easter, and got a great passage. Just started working on it today. That is going to go so well with our study in Romans 1 and yet be an Easter thing. And you can be reading it, and it's going to be in Acts 17 where Paul goes to Athens. And so you might want to just read that, Acts 17, verse 16, I think it is, and following. And because the issue in the Acts 17 passage is the resurrection. And it's very interesting that in dealing with the resurrection, he's going to start with creation to take them through things and get to the resurrection. And we just had last Sunday how the resurrection reveals, the creation reveals the glory of God. So it's going to be a really super correlation and kind of a smooth deal for Easter, and put it right in a Roman series and just keep on going. So that'll be what we're going to be doing then, this Sunday, for Easter Sunday. And wear your little bonnet. And some parent asked me, the child asked me, are we going to have an Easter egg hunt in our church? And I didn't want to give my sermon on where Easter eggs came from and the hunting of them and all that. So I just said, no, we don't have enough room. So I guess I'm getting softy in my old age. What do you mean an Easter egg hunt? Right on to that heathenistic stuff. That's from heathenism. And so I remember, let me think, was it Easter or Christmas that Jerry's parents came? Was it Easter? Oh, it was the Easter. I did the whole thing on the ritual, the cultic stuff, and on the, all of that. And oh yeah, yeah. All right. Oh, that was really. I mean, it's true. Everything I said was true, but just. It kind of tore up a little bit. And, so Jerry didn't have peace with his mother for a month. let's talk about prayer. Tish, how you doing?
Same.
When this coming next Wednesday? Okay. Well, we'll continue. This Friday?
Next Friday.
Okay. All right, so we'll be in prayer, and just that your body's responding to the treatment. Need to be in prayer for Nathan, maybe getting into the Merchant Marines and Navy or something, so we'll be in prayer. God's will be done in that respect. We need to be in prayer for Amber. I point to where people sit. And Amber, and she needs our prayers. Let's see. How's Alicia doing? A visit from her mom? Oh, wow. Long way to go. Okay, very good. Well, we'll continue to be in prayer for her and Molly and Molly's husband and family. Yeah, we will. Very good. Let's see, any other prayer requests? Yes. Well, my goodness, Edna, we've been in prayer for Edna. Wow. Does she relate the tiredness to the bronchitis? Okay. All right. We'll be in prayer then. Very good. All right. Yes? Yes. What's going on with him? Yeah. The truth, if he's a believer, I mean, if he isn't a believer, and if he's a believer, yeah, absolutely. It's a great thing to pray. What's his first name?
Ray.
Ray. So we need to be in prayer for Ray. Need to be in prayer for my good friend, Mike Bell. Mike needs our prayers, people. So let's be in prayer for Mike in a lot of areas. And the poor guy just fighting a lot of fronts. And it's tough when you got a lot of fronts that you're fighting. And any other prayer requests that I need? Yes. Rod is still needs our prayers. Let's continue to be in prayer for Rod. Let's see, we need to be in prayer for Judith. She has her operation. Is it this Friday, Jim? Julian. Judy Hoffman.
Okay, yes.
Judy Hoffman.
She had surgery last Friday and she's going to have some additional surgery.
This Friday. Yeah, so I had to do it this Friday. And she was concerned about a cold. And so we got to pray that she doesn't get the cold. And this is the cat lady. And that worked with all the cats. We'll call her our cat lady. And they put in a stent in her. In fact, they put a couple of stents in her. And she just still went to work. And all these lawyers she works with, you need to go home. Nah, I'm not going home. I'm going to work. And I told her she's taking on the nature of the cats that she's taking care of. And so we do need to be in prayer for her for Friday and her operation. And how's Phyllis doing? Then let's pray for her, the people around her, her church where she goes and all that around her. Yeah. Oh. I need to call Dave. Let's continue to be in prayer for David. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's speak into prayer. Let's go into prayer and prepare ourselves for our study tonight. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. Very powerfully important chapter in the Bible. John 14. I'm getting ready to take a break from our studies on Tuesday and Wednesday night, and put together a foundation or basics thing, and that I want to get with you on some of the things to go through. The work's done, basically, but I need to maybe work on a PowerPoint presentation and all, and I'd like to have that done where we have on one disc a basic introduction to spirituality, pattern after salvation, and all of that. So I just feel the need to get that done, and so maybe April we'll do that. Middle of April, you and I maybe can have some stuff ready by then, so that'll be good. June, the first week in June, I'll be in Tucson. John and I confirmed that today, so that first week I'll be in Tucson doing a Tucson conference. Okay. All right. Let's begin with a word of prayer that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see in regard to the greater works. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the inspiration by the Holy Spirit of the writers of Scripture, the preservation by the Holy Spirit of preserving Scripture through history, the manuscripts. And now, Heavenly Father, we pray in regard to illumination, that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to the things that you would have us to see in the passage before us. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, last week we left off with a summary of the greater works. Point one, in verse 12, John made it clear that the greater works will be done because I go to the Father. Point two, because Jesus Christ leaves planet Earth and is glorified at the right hand of the Father. Because of this glorification, the kingdom of God on earth, as far as the spiritual kingdom, can begin in the church age. Point three, Jesus Christ, in his earthly ministry, he came, he provided salvation by the work on the cross, defeating Satan by work on the cross, and inauguration of the spiritual kingdom. Point four, the greater works that we do in the church age does not mean that we are greater than Jesus Christ. John 13:16. Point five, the greater works are related to Old Testament prophecy, and we took up several verses. Point six, but do not get the idea that now that Jesus Christ is gone, that it is up to us to do his work. He is not absent. He is in us by virtue of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Point seven, once Jesus Christ departed earth, went to the Father, was seated at the right hand of God in the resurrected body, he is spiritually in us by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Point eight, when you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, salvation won by faith, you are placed into his kingdom, the kingdom of God on earth. This is a spiritual kingdom on earth. Point nine, the greater works of the spiritual kingdom are directly related to bringing Gentiles into the kingdom. Jesus Christ came to bring in the Jews first. We have the opportunity of doing the greater works of bringing in the Gentiles, and we studied some verses there. Ten, believers' works are said to be greater, not related to law, not related to an earthly nation as the Jewish nation, but to the spiritual kingdom. Three, greater because they are under the new covenant, not the Mosaic covenant. Four, greater because they are done by the power of the Holy Spirit, 2 Corinthians 3:3-6. And then five, greater because they are involved in bringing the Gentiles into the kingdom, 2 Corinthians 5:14-21. Point 11, five conditions of the greater works, and this is where we had to leave off. Five conditions of the greater works. and only one is our obedience. So we missed last week. So 2 weeks ago, this is where we left off. So now, that's why I just went through a quick review of where we left off. So now we're under point 11, five conditions of the greater works. And only one is our obedience. And this thing of obedience came up at the pastor's conference. And it's just amazing, people, how few people that study the Bible see it. It just... Well, in a way, I guess it isn't amazing, because it is the secret that Satan wants to keep. And but it is just amazing. And we had the opportunity, John and I, a couple of times at lunch, sit next to a pastor's, different pastor, and it would roll into this kind of a conversation. And it's really interesting that once you say it to them, you can tell at the table there, no, but boy, there's something to that. But they're going to have to think their way through it. And unfortunately, we're not with them to help them go through it. So John and I both just prayed that the Holy Spirit will take the seed that we planted and let them see it in the text. But really something. Okay, first condition of the greater works, our faith. This is our obedience. Total dependence on God the Holy Spirit. Only those who walk by faith can perform the greater works. This is why we should encourage one another in regard to faith. This is one of the things that we ought to do. Let's look at Acts chapter 14. Speaking of Acts. Acts chapter 14. Acts 14:22. Okay, strengthening the souls of the disciples, these are believers, encouraging them to continue in the faith. Continue to walk in by faith in the Holy Spirit and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God, but don't lose faith by going through the tribulations. I could change the whole meaning if I said encouraging them to continue in doctrine. Change the whole momentum of the Christian life. But that is not befitting to the text, the context, because through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God, and tribulations are related to our faith. So this becomes very important. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians, please. 1 Thessalonians 3. So we're to encourage one another, not judge, malign, slander, talk down to other believers and things, but to encourage them. All right, 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 2. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker, in the gospel of Christ to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith. So to strengthen and encourage to just continue to walking by faith. 1 Corinthians 5:11. 1 Corinthians 5:11. Therefore encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. So we're to encourage and to build up one another. And then finally, Hebrews chapter 3. Didn't think it was nice of John to say he's going to do the whole book of Hebrews in one morning. But all right, Hebrews chapter 3. I found out that Gentile, Sunday morning, I had called him to see if we could get my PowerPoint going. So he uses that as an excuse for him staying up till 1:30 in the morning working with Logos. Oh, I had to help Herman with his PowerPoint, whatever it is. Yeah. And I called him up and said, "You Philistine, I can't believe you blame me for that." And all right, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Hebrews 3:13, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called a day, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So here's a believer even in sin. And what do we want to do? Not judge them and separate from them, but encourage them, strengthen them, get them back to walking by faith. So the first condition of the greater works is our faith. We must persevere in faith. That's why Paul says the battle is faith. To enjoy the new life in Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit in overcoming a troubled soul, participate in the gracious privileges of the greater works of the spiritual kingdom. They flow from the person of Jesus Christ into each of us as we walk by faith in the Spirit. Faith is a precondition for recovery from sin, for fruitful, productive Christian life. Now, let me just say something here. Let's say that you are not walking by faith. You are not in the power of the Holy Spirit, but you witness to a Gentile. And let's say that Gentile believes in Jesus Christ as Savior because you know, even in the flesh, you know the truth of the gospel. So, is he not saved? Does that mean he's not saved because you weren't in the Holy Spirit? No, he's saved. He's saved. You just don't get to participate in that. So this is why I encourage you. If you're going to talk to someone, especially in the spiritual realm, but in any realm, because if you're in the Holy Spirit, He'll guide you to the spiritual realm. I want to be sure you're in the Holy Spirit. And I just have it as a habit. If I'm going somewhere and I just be sure I'm trusting the Spirit to whatever conversation may come up. And this is when I, like last week at the pastor's conference or anytime going to the store or wherever I might go. So that we can participate in the greater works. Okay, second condition. The second condition of the greater works, the departure of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's departure from earth and is right now physically at the right hand of God the Father because I go to the Father. This little phrase involves the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session of Jesus Christ. It involves all of those. His departure seemed to make our position, along with the disciples, a hopeless one. Because they were in a hopeless condition. Wait a minute, you're talking about leaving. What's going to happen to us? What about the kingdom? What about all this? So we've been walking with you now for some 3 years in some cases. And you're just going to leave. So it seems to be a hopeless circumstance. But because he leaves, he can now send the Holy Spirit. He can now do some wonderful things. Once again, look with me at John 7:39. I know we've looked at it before, but these are some of those verses that I want implanted in your soul. John 7:39. Verse 37, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers, plural, of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit were, future tense, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus Christ was not yet glorified. Look at chapter 16, verse 7. Chapter 16, verse 7. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Of course, referring to the Holy Spirit. Okay, the third condition. Prayer. Not prayer in general. We're getting ready to do this tonight. Not prayer in general, but prayer related to greater works. And this prayer is a result of our obedience to the Holy Spirit. Obedience to trusting the Spirit, who will guide us in our prayers. That Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father is there to answer these prayers, as we'll see. 4. Spiritual love. Now here's a love for the unbeliever, the unbelieving Gentiles. Spiritual love is the alchemizer of everything that we say and do. Once the believer is compelled or controlled by love of Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ, and loves with the same love that he loved, therefore he, out of his love, came for the Jews, out of our love will come to the Gentiles. If we're compelled by this love, just as he went to the cross, we will lay down our lives. And we will be sure that we give this gospel to Gentiles. The fifth condition of greater works, the power of the Holy Spirit. To do the greater works, we must have the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will put into us a desire for the greater works. As we walk in the Spirit takes us to the Word, the Scriptures, and the Scriptures take us to passages like this of telling others of Christ, being a witness of Christ. He will lead us in doing the greater works. He will give us the desire, and then he will give us the power. He will lead us in accomplishing the greater works. How is the world to know that we belong to Jesus Christ? By loving as he loved. That's the only way. That's the only way that they're going to see his love. It's going to come up in verse 13. Okay. Now we're ready to talk about prayers. Ready to talk about prayers. John 14. Let's look at verse 13. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Okay. Power of prayer. Now, this verse has caused so many problems. And the reason it's caused problems is because people take it out of context. They take it out of context. This is one place where we've got to stay in context in dealing with this. Why are prayers not answered? Why no greater works in your life? Both of these questions are interrelated. Multitude of Christians have trouble with their prayer life. Well, prayers just not answered. And deep inside, many Christians pray doubting. They pray doubting. And this is just one reason that the prayers are not answered. Now, most stop at verse 12. Most people, commentaries, people, stop at verse 12. And not only do they miss the point of the greater works and how prayer is related to the greater works, they come up with wrong conclusions about prayer. You do two things if you do not understand verse 13 coming off of verse 12. So you miss the point of greater works in prayer, and you're going to come up with wrong conclusions about prayer. Verse 13, one of the greatest promises for the church related to the greater works. But it's going to be, we have to see it in context. Okay, verse 13. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. I will do. So this is a promise of answered prayer. Many other promises, but it's an answer to specific prayer. Not just all our prayers, but specific prayers. We're in a context of greater works here. Many of the promises to the church age are related to the greater works. Now, let's remember our context then. How spiritual love comforts. These men were perplexed, troubled, gripping with fear, And here Jesus Christ comforts them with an answer to prayer about greater works. In other words, people, he's saying to these men sitting there, get your eyes off of yourself in the sense of your own worries and your fears and I'm leaving and how horrible things are with you. No, you've got a great job to do, greater works than I did. And I promise you, and you, if you pray in regard to these, you're going to be able to accomplish these greater works. Now, most of the disciples were not listening. I suppose none of them were. Even John weren't really listening at this point. But had they been listening, this is great encouragement to them. He comforts them, encourages them with answered prayer. He must die. He must depart. He must rise again. Resurrection, Sunday morning. He will be exalted at the right hand of God the Father. And now he's going to do greater works in them from his exalted position at the right hand of the Father. His going to the Father means that he is exalted over all. He is exalted over all. And we can now do greater works because he is exalted over all. So the promise of greater works and answered prayer is a great encouragement to the life of the disciples and to us. And it's a great encouragement to walk by faith. So now we're ready, verse 13. If we stop at verse 12, the disciples and all the believers of the church must do the greater works because he is no longer here. This is the way most people think, by the way. We must do and do, do and do. We must work for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not here. We've got to work for him. We've got to work for him. And that's the Isaiah 28. Do and do, do and do. Rule and rule, little here, little there. He's not here, so we've got to work. Come on, boys. Let's get going. He's not here. And it'd be so wrong. So wrong. But that's the banner that a lot of Christians go. And that's why theirs is the obedience of works rather than the obedience of faith. Now, yes, Jesus Christ must depart. He has departed. He must depart. But, okay, let's take up a few things. One, he will come back to us through his Spirit, by means of his Spirit. And it will be the Holy Spirit who will do these works, not us. Jesus Christ is no mere man whose death ends his work. Well, to talk about, well, when he died, the sons took it up or somebody took it up. But as far as his doing it, it's over. When we die, our work, boom. If somebody picks it up, okay. Saw on History Channel the segment of A Life of Howard Hughes. And boy, after he died and all the things that the Hughes of companies and all these things have done. But as far as Howard Hughes, it's over. Jesus Christ is no mere man that his death ends his work. He's going to return in us. His death departure does not end his works. He works in us. We work in him and he in us. Point two. He will answer our prayers. This is one way he continues his work. He will answer our prayers. This is one way he continues to work. Right now, Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God the Father in his resurrected body. So here he is. He has risen from the grave. We'll note this Sunday morning. But he has ascended now. He has been seated. And in his resurrected body, he is physically at the right hand of God the Father. And very important function of Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father is directly related to our prayers. We have a member of the human race, Jesus Christ, seated at the throne of God, above angels. Satan wants to be seated there. And there we have a member of the human race seated there. And so this is directly related to our prayers. I don't know how many of you, when you pray, think of Jesus Christ as part of answering your prayer, part of being there or not, but he is there for that purpose. Point three. Our part is faith. Presenting ourselves to him by faith in his Spirit. That's all our part is. Point four. This is very important in an aspect of the union model. This is very important in the aspect of the union model that we studied in verses 10 through 12. Verse 10, I am in the Father, and the Father's in me. Verse 10, the Father abiding in me does his works. The Father abiding in me does his works. God the Father is doing these works in Jesus Christ by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Verse 12, the works that I do. These works are also said to be the works of Jesus Christ. They're the works of the Father. They're the works of Jesus Christ. Why are they called the works of Christ? He submitted to the power of God to allow God to do those works in him by the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's a union model. Jesus Christ, by the presence of the Holy Spirit, he does the works of the Father. By the way, this has been God's plan all through history. Look at Joshua 24, please. Joshua 24. This has been the Father's plan all through history. Joshua 24, let's look at verse 13. And I gave you land on which you had not labored. I gave you cities which you did not build. And you have lived in them. You are eating of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. And people, spiritually, this is the Christian life. He gives us blessings that we did not work. We did not do. The Holy Spirit did it. But we get to enjoy it. Okay, back to John 14 now. One of the greatest errors in understanding this verse is to think that since Jesus Christ is gone, we must work. And I say that because everything I have, commentaries, things I've looked at, people I've respected, this is what they conclude. He is gone, therefore we must do the work now. And to me, this is a travesty. Because we do not do these works. He is here, he is in you by the presence of his Spirit. The Holy Spirit does this work, does the work of Christ in us. We reap. We get to live in the land, as it were, eat of the fruit of it, and enjoy these things, but he does the work. To me, it's very important that we see this. This is why so many believers are confused on the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit, the significance of Jesus Christ being in us. What does all of this mean? It's not emphasized that much. It's not talked about that much because it's not understood. They think that they do not need faith. Maybe, okay, he's in me, I don't need faith. Or I don't understand this whole operation. And I must do these works because he's not here. People, wrong. Wrong. What we want to do is to allow his Spirit to let Christ work in us in bringing in the Gentiles into the kingdom. Jesus Christ is not gone. He is here. He is present within you. By the presence of his Spirit, he is present within you. That's how close he is to us. If we present ourselves to him by faith, this is the obedience of God is looking for from us to perform the greater works. The obedience, that is faith. This thing just keeps the same principle, just keeps coming up over and over and over, not because I'm looking for it, because it's there. That we just trust him. This is the work that we are to do. And again, very few see it. I'm talking about men that I respect, that study the scriptures. They're trained in the scriptures, and they've gone to seminary and all these things, and just don't see it. It's just amazing. A few just really see what the faith is that we have, that the obedience that we're to do is simply our faith. Jesus Christ's work does not cease with his death, does not cease with his departure, nor does the life of the disciples become nothing with his departure. Look at chapter 15, verse 5. Chapter 15, coming up, verse 5. I am the vine, Jesus Christ said. You are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, okay, there's the union model, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We're very important in being in the Holy Spirit and filled with the Spirit. But people, why? Because when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it is Christ working through us. And apart from him, we can do nothing. We'll come and examine that passage in due time. So if we properly see chapter 14, verses 12 through 16, we will understand that greater works done by the apostles and by believers in the church age were in reality done by Jesus Christ himself through the presence of the Holy Spirit. I just want to repeat that. If we properly understand and see chapter 14, verses 12 through 16, we will understand that the greater works done by the apostles and by all believers in the church age, including each of us, were in reality done by Jesus Christ himself through his Spirit. And we get the blessing of it. That's his grace.
Through his Spirit or by his Spirit? The works done in Jesus Christ, by the Spirit, or through the Spirit?
How are you making the distinction of those two words? Huh?
Who's doing the work? The Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
Well, that's not what I understood you to say. That Jesus was doing
that's what you heard me not saying?
I heard you say that Jesus was doing the work by the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Yes.
So
yes.
Jesus wasn't doing the work, the Holy Spirit.
He is doing the work by the presence of the Holy Spirit in us.
Well, who's doing the work? One's doing it, the other's doing it.
Okay. Right, it's like the work of Christ on the cross. All three members of the Godhead were doing the work. It's like I can't think of an example right now, but the Jesus Christ is doing the work by the presence of the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus Christ was doing the work of the Father, but the Father was working in him.
Working in him, the Father was doing the work.
Yes, the Father was doing the work by the presence of the Holy Spirit. All right. The Holy Spirit does the work, but it's Jesus Christ doing it. He's doing it by the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Or the Holy Spirit's doing it through the presence of Jesus Christ.
Yes. Either way.
No,
it's, I guess the best way that the mechanical way of looking at it is if I hammer a nail, and here's the hammer, it's me and the hammer. And the whole thing. So it's Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit.
So that's a partnership.
Of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit.
Okay, but I've heard you say that it's not. We don't have a partnership with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit.
No, I didn't say that. I said Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
We're like the nail. We're like the nail. So here's Jesus Christ. Here's the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's actually hammering the nail in. I mean, the hammer is actually hammering the nail in. But my hand is guiding it. So here's Jesus Christ, here's the Holy Spirit, and we're the nail.
So the Holy Spirit is doing the work through Christ in that example.
Yes.
Because the work is doing by the Spirit.
Yes.
The energy.
Yes.
So Christ isn't doing the work, it's the Holy Spirit.
No, Jesus, they're the works of Christ. Christ is working in us, doing His work through the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm just trying to say through and by. Okay, if you like, by the Holy Spirit.
Well, there is a difference.
Okay. Right. By the Holy Spirit. Okay. Our confidence in doing the greater works is not ourselves, but in Jesus Christ and His Spirit. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 3. Second Corinthians chapter 3. Okay. Verse 5, but we are not adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, like the greater works. But our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So here is God making us adequate, and His instrument of doing that is God the Holy Spirit. So does that help a little bit? Okay, the adequacy is like if you had an unbeliever, not adequate, a believer is adequate. Believer not filled with the Spirit is not adequate, believer filled with the Spirit is adequate. For the Holy Spirit to do His work through us.
He can do work through unbelievers too. I mean, an unbeliever can give a gospel just like a believer.
Okay, but where we participate in the spiritual bringing in of the kingdom. So we are adequate as servants before God to be able to serve Him. And we're made adequate by the presence of the Holy Spirit, not of the flesh.
Because we're believers.
Well, because we're walking in the Spirit by faith.
We're abiding in the Spirit by faith.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I think the better, I can say it like the analogy is like being employed and not being employed. Being employed and not. You can do the same work, but if you're not employed doing that work, you're not going to be paid.
Okay, the pay breaks down, but reward.
You are in the Holy Spirit. You are employed.
Yeah. And then, yeah.
So when you work that under the feeling of the Holy Spirit, you get paid.
Yeah. And I guess if I carry that analogy along, if I use the economic example, who's adequate to do this? Well, you have to be employed by the company. And so we're empowered by the Spirit. We're saved, empowered by the Spirit.
Well, that's a different analogy there. I know. This is a physical thing. We're talking about spiritual.
I know it. Yeah.
So if you're employed by an employer, you're working. You're doing the work and you're getting paid.
Yeah.
The believer didn't get paid.
No. Well, they're about rewards. Yeah, that's right.
Expressed in the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Does the work through.
Yes.
But I think putting it in the natural term is the example of Jesus Christ, that if you cannot understand earthly things, how can you understand the spiritual thing? If you're trying to understand the spiritual thing and you cannot understand physical terms.
Yeah. Well, Christ Himself used the physical example to explain the spiritual, to Nicodemus and all, but... it's God who makes us adequate, and yet He uses the Holy Spirit to make us adequate.
Okay, but what is our adequacy there? May I just ask the question?
The adequacy to serve.
To be available.
Yeah. To serve.
To
serve is a biblical word. So to serve Him.
I know, but yeah, the Holy Spirit and Jesus.
Yeah.
They're the ones that do the work.
Yes.
As a servant, as a believer would be, it's just
Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit can do the work in us and then through us.
Well, the service that we render is by putting ourselves into His hand by faith. It's like that cup serves. That cup serves Pam by holding the water that Pam can drink out of. We are like that cup. And how, so we, all we are doing is saying, here I am, use me. It is the Holy Spirit who will do it.
The cup does no work.
Yeah.
It sits there.
Yes.
The Spirit pours in the water.
Yeah.
And flows over.
Yeah.
But the cup, if we're the cup in your analogy, we do nothing. We're just there unavailable.
Well, and but we're used as an instrument of God. And we're made adequate to do that. We're made a cup form, if you please. We're made into the cup form so that we can hold the water. And so...
Yeah, but the cup does
no
work.
No, but it serves. It's serving. The cup is serving us.
Yeah,
we don't...
Way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not active.
No,
right?
Not active.
Because the Holy Spirit can be only one.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
So we as the cup actually don't do work.
That's no.
Not
no.
Work.
Nope. But it's serving.
Okay, but so if the cup doesn't do the greater works, the Spirit has to do
yes,
the greater.
Absolutely. That's what I thought I'd been saying
well,
on all these points. I didn't think I said we do the work.
We do the work. The Holy Spirit does the work. I hear it both ways.
Well, I'm sorry, because that isn't what I'm saying.
Well, here you say we're doing the greater works.
Well, that's what he said, do the greater works. Now, how do I do the greater works? In the power of the Spirit. I mean, the scriptures, our Savior said, do the greater works. I've got to go with what He said. So we're doing the greater works. What is my, how am I doing it? Just by trusting Him. Just by being that vessel.
So, okay, but we're not doing the work.
I'm doing it in the sense of Christ's meaning by putting myself there in the faith in the Holy Spirit. By putting my faith in the Holy Spirit.
For Him to
do to use me, yes. Yes.
Because if He's using us, we're partnering with Him. If we're doing any work, we are partnering.
We're not doing any work, John.
Okay. But that's what work means. Activity, doing work.
Okay. See, this is where when Christ said in John 6, the Pharisees said, "What is the work that we do? Here is the work you do, faith." So Jesus Christ said, if you want to think in terms of work, here's the work you do. It's work of faith.
Which is a physical spiritual analogy only.
Yeah.
Because the person does no work.
No, that's his point. That is Christ's point. You're doing nothing, Pharisees. You're doing nothing. See, they wanted to know what they could do. What can we do to receive this eternal life? He said, this is the work that the Father requires, that you believe in the one He sent.
Which is passive.
Yes.
That means they do no work.
They do no work. And that's His point. That's His point.
I understand that. But why is it said that the Holy Spirit does the work, and yet we do the greater works?
How do we do the greater works? Okay, then Jesus Christ is wrong in what He said.
I think, no, maybe the writer's wrong or the interpretation's wrong.
Well, that's what the Greek text says.
I know, Herman, I know that, but you can't have it both ways.
Sure you can.
Only the Holy Spirit can be the one doing the work.
Okay, but if I say to you, you do this work. Okay, let's just, I do that.
Work
now.
Is active now.
Huh?
Work is always
okay,
active.
Do the greater works. Okay, no. Okay, there's the problem. Because when Christ said in John 6, this is the work required by the Father that you believe.
But that is a physical, spiritual, he's just using an analogy there.
But that's the work. And that's what He was trying to say to the Pharisees. He was getting them, they wanted to do something. He said, this is what you do. Do nothing. Just trust.
That's so they don't do any work.
No.
Just trust.
No. But that's what I'm saying. He used that word. Yes.
I understand, but the internet listener, they're not going to understand what we're talking about. So maybe if you can just continue to study and we'll talk about it.
Well, okay. But this is where we are. This is where I'm teaching. This is in here. Okay, 2 Corinthians 3:6, who has made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, which involves the Spirit and the greater works, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life, and that is the life to perform the greater works. Okay, we will pick it up here next Wednesday night, and I love this interaction. I love this. I love this. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Okay, I like it. I like interaction. I like questions. John gets a lot of them. And, so let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for our Savior who came and died in our place on the cross. He bore that death that we could not bear. His physical body was laid in a grave. And 3 days and three nights later, he rose. And then, Heavenly Father, he ascended to heaven where he now sits. But his importance to us, his works for us, did not stop at the cross and the resurrection and ascension. They continue. And I pray, Father, you give me the ability and to convey this to those who listen, that his work is not over at the cross. That just took care of sins. His work is not only in the future when he comes and saves the world from religion by the destruction of the Babylonian whore, by the incarceration of Satan at the Battle of Armageddon, but that Jesus Christ, our Savior, does things for us right now in our lives every day as he sits at the right hand. Not only is he preparing us an eternal dwelling place where we can be with him, but he's actively involved in our lives. This is what kind of Savior we have. I pray, Father, you give me the ability to communicate these truths. In Christ's name, amen.